This morning, we go in our scriptures to the Gospel according to Matthew. And in his second chapter, and beginning at verse 13, and reading through verse 23, we find these words recorded. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we consider the text, it might be to our advantage to really take to heart and meditate on the fact that our lives are safe. Our lives are safe. There was a movie titled Mr. Deeds. And in this movie, Preston Blake had been determined to reach the top of Mount Everest. Even when his achievement comes at great risk to him and everybody else around him, he was given wise advice. He was given the wisdom of other people. But of course, he refused to take the safe way out. And according to this movie, Preston Blake now exists as a frozen statue as a memorial to his accomplishment. I guess at some point we all live in that balance of life where we have to choose between facing risks that are before us or staying safe. I would venture to say that for many of us, there is nothing more important in life than our safety. And that's true no matter what we do in life to suggest something different. Even hobbies as simple as hiking and sewing are more extreme activities like mountain climbing or hang gliding or skydiving seem to place our bodies and lives at risk and require the greatest precautions to ensure that our lives are safe. And while we sometimes maintain our own safety by going to the added length of adding security systems and safety belts and airbags and more to keep ourselves safe from harm, we also find that where matters of spirituality are concerned, it seems that we've been powerless to prevent ourselves from daily spiritual attacks. That is, of course, unless we've given our attention to this story from Matthew. If we paid any attention to what's written, then we've realized that our lives are indeed safe. Matthew has offered these words as an account of events surrounding Jesus's very early life. And what we've missed up to this point, which occurs earlier in Matthew's account, is the visit to King Herod by the wise men who were led by a star shining in the east, and of Herod's sneaky plot to find the baby Jesus and have him murdered. What we've heard and know up to this point is that the Magi, those three or maybe four wise men, you figure it out, have come and gone and have deposited their gifts at the feet of the baby Jesus. What we know from our text at this point is Matthew's understanding of the prophetic words of Jeremiah explaining Rachel's grieving cry for the death of the children. And while these events are important, what's most important is their message of warning in a dream not to return to Herod. This is the beginning of what brings us to understand our text more completely. It seems that from this point on in the story, everything becomes fairly easy to grasp. There were a series of angelic messages to David, but to Joseph about his travel itinerary, each message designed to ensure the safety of the baby Jesus. First, there was a message to flee to Egypt to fulfill the previous words of God spoken in Scripture. Then there was the slaughter of the innocent infants, a vengeance killing done in anger, again to fulfill a message from Scripture. Finally, there was the death of Herod, yet again to advise them that it was safe to travel again, only this time to Nazareth, so that it might become his hometown, and again to fulfill what the prophets had said before. At each step, God was working to make certain that this child's life, Jesus's life, and the lives of his parents were safe. On the surface, it appeared that God's primary concern is about the safety of Jesus's life, and it was. It was important to God that Jesus not meet with any unforeseen accidents or situations that would jeopardize his physical life, and that Mary's life be protected too, in order to raise God's son. We sometimes miss the point that Jesus's physical life and his spiritual life are unalterably tied together, as is ours. But if we believe that it's only about Jesus's life, then it simply goes to indicate how short-sighted we are. This story goes far beyond the life of Jesus and his safety. This story reaches across centuries to touch the very lives of you and me. You see, brothers and sisters, the safety of Jesus had as much to do with our safety as it did with his safety. It's difficult for us to understand that by just looking at the scripture as a reference point in time. After all, Mary was still pondering in her heart what it meant to have given birth to the Christ child. Joseph was still trying to be obedient to divine messages he was receiving in his dreams. And unless they were fully aware of the scripture they were fulfilling, it would have been virtually impossible for them to know that they were working and acting in ways that will enable God's divine plan for the salvation of the world to come to pass. And even if Mary and Joseph both had a clue, their primary belief system would have led them to believe that this little child was going to save the Jewish nation, not the entire world. But the truth is that God's reputation of faithfulness was on the line, and the safety of Jesus had everything to do with God fulfilling God's promise. And that promise was that I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. That was God's promise to Abraham. And that in some way, Isaiah would be offered this: for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcast of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. You see, brothers and sisters, Isaiah knew that God's house would be called a house of prayer, and that God would not only collect the Jewish people, but he would begin bringing in the Gentiles as well. And that's you and me. The safety of Jesus had to do with a history of God's faithfulness to the people of Israel and the world that extended to generations yet unborn. We don't often see the early story of Jesus's birth as a story of rescue or of salvation, even though his name means God saves. But the safety of Jesus had as much to do with our safety as it did with his safety. And yet in the middle of the story, we have Matthew's account of what has become known as the slaughter of the innocents. Many children under the age of 2 died in this story for only one reason. They had done nothing to merit the fate they were made to face, and yet it's recorded there for a purpose. And I'll admit that in my mind, I considered the senselessness of the murders of these innocent children. I was incensed that one man's power and fear could cause so much devastation. And our world has been filled with foolish and fearful men who gained power, who have been responsible for the deaths of thousands of people: Hitler, Mussolini, and Idi Amin, to name a few. I'm certain that there were others who have murdered needlessly and without provocation, but when children are harmed, it touches us in a different way. The idea of the loss of an innocent life takes something out of us. We haven't forgotten the senseless murder of the children in Uvalde, Texas, or of those students in Columbine, or other children senselessly murdered because someone brought a gun to school. And we can't forget the senseless murders of those who died at a 4th of July parade. And the memory of the Chiefs parade last year hangs over our heads as we consider yet another possible Super Bowl run and what it might mean when people gather together. And this story in our scripture is just another reminder that it happens, that people with the power of a nation or a gun can change the trajectory of life and history. Yet what we can know and learn from it is that no leader of our power or status has the ability to short-circuit God's plan of salvation. The Pharaoh couldn't do it. The Assyrian kings couldn't do it. Herod couldn't do it. No human ruler has the ability to stop God's plan of salvation. And it's because in the most critical moments of life, God steps in to save. Angels have been used to introduce God's plans to save us time and time again. God's angels stepped in to save Zechariah and Elizabeth from the social embarrassment of not having a child. God's angels stepped in to help Mary understand that she was going to be giving birth to the Son of God. And because of that, our lives are now safe. The coming of this baby Jesus meant more than a misperceived birth by his parents. This birth meant the world to the child's father, God, and more than the world to those of us who stood to inherit eternal life. Because of God's faithfulness to bring our salvation to its proper conclusion, our lives are now safe. We may not be safe from physical harm or physical death. In fact, it is appointed that we should all die at least once. We may not even be safe from physical harm or the tyranny of the rich and powerful men who are afraid of God. But God has secured the safety of our spiritual lives by preserving the physical life of his son, Jesus Christ, so that scripture might be fulfilled. And because of that, our lives are now safe. Our lives are safe because God's love reaches beyond a momentary point in time, but reaches to the ends of eternity. Our lives are safe because God's power is immutable and can't be altered by the delusions of a self-exalted human leader. Our lives are safe because God chose to save us through the life of his son that we might be with God eternally. And so our lives are safe. Because of God's faithfulness, our lives are safe. Because of Joseph's faithfulness, our lives are safe. But most importantly, because of Jesus's faithfulness, our lives are safe. So great is God's love for us that God saved us when and because we weren't and aren't able to save ourselves. And because of God's great love, our lives are safe. And that's the word of God for people of God on this day. As we consider opening the doors of invitation, maybe you're sitting here and you've come to the realization that God has saved you. Christ has saved you, and that God is watching over you and taking care of you. And you can make a change in your life by simply acknowledging that is where you are, and by asking and praying for God to lift you up and to hold you close and to continue to wrap his arms around you, to continue to put that hedge of protection around you. As we consider what it is to be safe in the arms of God, let us join in our closing selection this morning. His eye is on the sparrow.
Within me dies, I draw the
and I know He watches me. His eye is on a sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Sparrow, and our lives are safe. Amen. Amen. As we prepare for our offering this morning, we have our scripture, which reminds us of God's word and God's faithfulness. And Chronicles says, the chief priest Azariah, who was of the house of Zadok, answered him, since they began to bring contributions into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty to spare. For the Lord has blessed his people so that we might have this great supply left over. God provides. And so now it's time for us to offer back to God a portion of all that God has given us. Give as you are able, and the ushers are ready to come. If you have a gift to send, you may send it to Mason Memorial Community Church, Post Office Box 2373, Kansas City, Kansas 66110-0373. Amen and amen. Gracious and eternal God, we give thanks for the gifts that you have allowed us to bring back into your church. And we acknowledge, O God, that before we had it to give, we had nothing. And you have provided all so that what we give is really not ours, but yours. But we ask you to bless and multiply these gifts in such a way that the message may be gotten out, that people's lives are now safe because of Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. And now, if you would join with me in our closing prayer. Great and mighty God, thank you for keeping me as safe and secure in my faith today as your safeguards were protective over my Savior Jesus at his birth. And now may the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rest with each one and in each one until Christ comes again. And he will come and claim us as his very own. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm sorry, we had a guest, and I got tied up. Blessing to have all of you here. Again, my apologies for not being present, but again, we had a guest. If God is gracious to all of us, have a happy new year. And I will see you all next Sunday. May God be with you as we enter this new year.